Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
It's your last week at witch school, and you're not the chosen one. All the graduating witches are being assigned to their career paths. Potions, incantations, programming, tradwife mumfluencing. Each graduating student approaches the carved mahogany qualifications desk and places both their hands on the tabletop. The table spews forth a single piece of parchment paper curlicued with the diploma that will direct their life's path henceforth. You shudder nervously as you approach the assignments table and place your hands on the oddly warm wood. What will your future hold? Cackling in a dungeon, running yoga retreats, the brutal world of finance. The table bucks once beneath your hands and a single piece of paper slides out of its immaculate surface. You look. In curling writing it reads, The Gargle. Welcome to The Gargle. This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper to a visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Tom Neenan. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you. And Athena Kuglenu, how are you?
I'm well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a delight to have you both here. But before we link arms and start the do-si-do that is this week's top story, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover of this week's magazine is comedian Arj Barker breastfeeding a baby. I don't know if foreign countries tracked this story, but it was big news in Australia this week. Comedian Arj Barker kicked a breastfeeding mother out of his comedy show. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I saw the headline.
Hey, listen, as the only guy on this call, I'm going in two-footed on this whole story. Why not? And as the only non-parent, I believe, as well, I am going in and saying he was distracted, right? That was what he said. He was distracted by that scenario, in which case I sort of think, like, come on, mate. If you haven't seen one boob before, then what are you doing in comedy, basically? Are people angry? Is that what I'm hearing people that are angry about this?
I feel like nobody in this situation covered themselves in glory. I think you are allowed to take a baby to a comedy show if the comedian is your friend, you've asked them in advance, and you're standing up the back. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the rules for a comedy show, unless it's a comedy show for babies, in which case, go wild. Mm-hmm. This was not a comedy show for babies, but also, he's been doing it for a long time. He should have had the gears to deal with it with grace rather mm-hmm. than having what appears to have been a complete breakdown on stage.
Here's the thing, though, right? Like, when a baby's got a mouthful of breast, they can't laugh. You know? And if you really care about your craft, if somebody is just kind of just sucking away and not paying attention and listening to what you're saying, then, you know, you can't get to the punchline. You're not going to laugh on cue. Also, as people will know, let's say the breast slips out and you get a jet full of breast milk in your eye. That's not nice. You know, it's health and safety, because it doesn't just, you know, if you're not familiar with breastfeeding, it doesn't just kind of just like come out like a little slow dripping tap. It is a f***ing hose pipe. Like, it really is like you're putting out a fire with that milk. And so, you know, he was just thinking about those two very important things, health and safety and laughter.
Fair enough. Yeah. As a comedian, you always focus on the one person in the gig who isn't laughing. And that's all that was happening, really.
I feel like he should do an apology tour and just do shows all to babies.
I think you say all to boobs. Just like, what an amazing way of sort of gaming the system. It's like, only topless shows from now on I'll be doing.
And they should be sponsored by Cowan Gate. Because if it was on a bottle, maybe he might have been happier with it. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
Makes sense.
Wait a minute. Are not all straight young men comedy shows essentially performed directly to boobs?
Confirmed.
The comedy to boobs pipeline that I see very many aspirational young people moving towards. The satirical cartoon this week is Tesla's earnings call, which happened this week. If you want to know the brief on that, Tesla's automotive revenues are down double digit, but they increased their, quote, AI compute by 130%, which Musk has declared is a victory, because making money out of making cars isn't actually the business model of Tesla, and you'd be stupid to think it was. He's suggesting that Tesla could use the idle GPUs in parked Teslas as a distributed AI supercomputer, which is nonsense. It is bullshit nonsense. And it doesn't even sound like good bullshit nonsense. It sounds like deeply dystopian bullshit nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, like, remember how Uber suggested its drivers weren't liable for legal protection as employees because its primary service was connecting people, essentially the Tinder of geography. So Uber is not a car company. Tesla is a software company that happens to make battery-driven cars as a sort of a weird side effect, mm-hmm. which means that if you are an Uber driver who has a Tesla, I don't know what your job is, but despite all indications to the contrary, I can assure you that legally speaking, your job is definitely not driving a car.
Yeah. Can we live in a world where companies do the thing they do? Is that, it feels like one of those sort of things you never thought you'd have to specify, but like, it's like finding out that McDonald's is actually just raising awareness about clowning, and actually the food is just like completely a sidebar.
This is the post-Jack Welch at General Electric dystopia of companies just looking at line go up rather than actually making a thing that does a thing for people who want to buy a thing.
Yeah.
Have you sat in a Tesla? You ever sat in a Tesla?
I have sat in a Tesla. I've sat in a Tesla that was an Uber, but it wasn't, was it?
It wasn't an Uber. I do that thing when, you know, when you go to malls and shopping centres, there'll be like a car that you can sit in and pretend that you can afford to buy. Sometimes I do that to stay warm. And I sat in, I think, a Model X. A Model X is in the UK, about 100 grand. You can buy a Mercedes for that. That's a prestige brand. You drive around in Mercedes, people think you've done something well in life, right? But so instead of spending 100 grand on a Mercedes, you could spend 100 grand on a Tesla Model X, and you literally sit in there and it feels like you're sitting on a chair in a train waiting room. Like, it's like the most plasticky thing my ass has ever felt in my life. And I'm like, what is, like, you spent all this money on the computer. It's a bit like making a Terminator, but just making the chip and then thinking, oh, it doesn't look like a human anymore, and it's just kind of like a mannequin. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure the computer inside this car is lovely, but the actual car itself looks like, it feels like that plastic car that has when you're a kid and it has like, it doesn't have a hole for a floor, so you make it move by running around. That's what a Tesla feels like. It's not even an actual, it doesn't feel like a proper car at all. So I don't know why.
It's because he doesn't, it was never meant to be a car.
Yeah.
you might as well go down to Toys R Us or your local toy store and get yourself a Fisher Price My First Car. And that is, you know, a Tesla basically without a microchip. That's all it is. It's mad.
And that brings us to our top story. Speaking of dystopian futures, this is home security news, in which a new camera has come on the market, a home security camera that can shoot trespassers. Athena, you're wicked with a paintball gun. Can you unpack this story for us?
I can, yeah. So a company has decided that what security cameras need is a deterrent, because people are not being deterred by being filmed. They're being deterred by kind of being attacked after being filmed. So this particular, which I guess, which kind of makes sense, because now everyone's taking selfies, right? So if I'm going to rob you and I get a selfie at the same time, that for me, that's sort of two birds, one stone. So now a company has identified this new development in thievery and decided to add a paintball gun to its security camera, and the idea is that if it detects a trespasser on private property, it will fire paintball pellets at the trespasser. It can also do tear gas rounds, so that's like the upgrade, I guess. Like the value version is paintball, and if you pay a bit extra and you get to gas your intruders. And there's not much more to it really, except for the fact that I worry about the foxes, because it's not really... They just want to go to get some stuff out your bins. They don't deserve a paintball in their arse. Do they? Do they deserve a paintball?
I'm all for this because I don't... First of all, I don't get sent self-tapes because my agents are garbage. But if they were not garbage and I got sent self-tapes, I find it quite hard to find collaborators who are willing to film me. And if I am, for example, auditioning for a part in like a war movie, what better than a camera that will shoot paintballs at me. Sometimes I'm looking for a tennis partner. Sometimes you're looking for a bit of batting practice, but you haven't got someone who's willing to bowl at you. I feel like this solves a huge range of problems that can all be solved by trespassing on the grounds of somebody who's sufficiently paranoid and bloodthirsty that they would buy one of these machines.
Am I the only one imagining, like, a trespasser in, like, is approaching your house, they get hit by the paintballs, and then they are identifiable by, like, the silhouette, like, the negative silhouette cast on your wall, where basically the paintball hasn't hit them, and so you can sort of trace it round and see what they look like. I, for one, endorse the idea that home security is entering its Bantz era, and we are now... deterring people with, like, it'll be throwing spiders at people, it'll be pantsing them, there'll be lots of ways of sort of deterring people in ways that don't actually work at all, because, you know, one of the main things you want to do is protect your house, and part of protecting your house is making sure it looks nice, and throwing a load of paint at your house isn't going to help.
I mean, this couldn't have happened before the age of some millennials beginning to own homes, because their home ownership protection was just home alone. And I feel like the more home alone your security system is, the bigger buy-in you'll have from the aging millennials.
I think it's a shame because we went through all this trouble to kind of like learn how to use DNA to identify intruders, right? So you kind of, you leave behind a hair and then you get caught and they test your hair and it matches the hair at the crime scene. And now they're like, no, we'll just fire a paintball at him. And we'll identify him that way. And there's a poor guy in a laboratory going, oh, but what about this fingerprint? And no, he's got a UV paint splash on his shoulder. So we don't need you anymore. You know, there's all these people who are really good with tweezers and they're going to be out of work. What a shame.
I look forward to a lot of home thieves walking around looking like Mikhail Gorbachev with like the permanent paintball dent in their head. Yeah, I want one. And that is the problem with millennials owning houses, is that, yeah, this all sounds... This is why it shouldn't happen. And I've always said it. Yeah.
And that brings us to our ad section for today. Now it's time for your ads, because you can't be what you can't buy. Can you imagine a better world? A world with less waste, more eco-friendly energy, more renewable resources. Try environmentalism, the new wave intellectual exercise that puts the power to change the world in your hands. And by in your hands, we mean in your mind. Real ecological change requires huge amounts of buy-in from literally billions of stakeholders, the most powerful of whose economic interests are directly in opposition to making real impactful change. And turning the tide seems a task both vast and dauntingly impossible. So why not just think about it? Imagine a better future, post about what you'd do, and then get a good night's sleep with our new 5D Nature Imaginarium. 5D, you say? Yes, it's the regular 3D and then two dicks for joysticks. Live your eco-fantasies lovingly narrated by David Attenborough with Environmentalism, available today. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Midges. Midges. What if pieces of floating dirt were like, f*** you, f***ing, f***ing. What the f***? Get off me, you evil little sentient fairy shits.
Sometimes I can piece together what your day's been like from the adverts.
There is like a species of sand flea slash midge in Queensland that bites only me. Like, I go to the playground with my children, with my brother, with my cousins and family, and I get the shit bitten out of me, and I'm covered in lumps, and everyone else is fine, and I feel like I'm being gaslighted. Just my nemesis. This is my natural predator. And if you're on the planet Arrakis, as described by Frank Herbert in the book Dune, recently brought to the big screen by Denis Villeneuve, and you're looking to purchase a very nice hat at the markets of capital city Arakeen, try offering half a glass of water.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And speaking of futuristic geoengineering, which I was when I mentioned the book Dune, a secretive experiment has released salt crystals over San Francisco's bay as a way of trying to alter the climate. Tom Neenan, you're salty. Can you unpack this story for us?
Certainly. Yeah, we're now at the stage of kind of dealing with the climate crisis that we're thinking maybe season the planet. Is that, will that help? Would that make it, if it's tastier, maybe it won't want to burn. So yeah, the University of Washington carried out this secretive experiment, as secretive as an experiment can be when it's just in the air and everyone can look up and see it, which is that they release salt crystals into the atmosphere. The idea being that they are reflective, so that it sort of replicates, I guess, a kind of sea fog that can have a cooling effect because it reflects the sun's light back, and less of it hits the ground, heating up the planet. Apparently, this can have an effect of cooling the Earth by up to 1 degree. Hooray! Fahrenheit. So that's a real come down of a you know, you get excited. We'll do anything other than reduce carbon emissions, won't we? We will literally throw salt in the air like some kind of pagan ritual than do the one thing that we know will 100% help this situation. But, you know, good for people
I
trying
think it's
to...
terrible. Think of the witch population in San Francisco.
Look at the slugs.
Oh, slugs. Yeah.
No, it's both witches and slugs, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing. And also, like, you know, if you're from a community that suffers from high blood pressure, you know, that can't be good, having salt in the air, just inhaling it. It's ridiculous. It's got to the point now where I watch like TV shows where like in films where aliens are coming to like destroy the planet and I side with the aliens. I'm like, go on, get them. They're idiots. Just get them. You know, like, you're right, Tom, we would do anything. It's like, would you like to eat a little less meat? No. Let's just spray the clouds with salt. Or you could maybe get, you know, just don't drive today. No. Let's just throw salt in the air. How about you don't buy that jacket you don't need? No. We're going to fly a plane into the air. We're ridiculous. The aliens just need to... I don't know if you've seen Three Body Problem, but in it, I won't spoil it, but basically aliens come and there's a reason that they come. And I want to send out invites now. Do you know what I mean? I want to send out a Google invite to all the aliens. Accept or decline. Just destroy us. Just say yes. I've had enough of us. We're ridiculous.
I mean, I guess I'm a bit of a pragmatist, so I'm like, if it helps, it helps. But there, plant more trees and reduce carbon emissions are like very basic. I remember Elon Musk, the favorite of this podcast, tweeting about like, if someone designs the perfect way of reducing carbon emissions, like the perfectly designed thing, I'll give them like $1 million. And loads of people just sent him the Wikipedia article for trees, because they are so efficient. They are so easy to make. So yeah, but hey, if it helps, it helps, right? Like anything that stops us, you know, stops the climate oblivion, and you know, happening sooner, I'm all for it, I guess.
I propose sprinkling turmeric on the ocean, because why not? Let's just see.
Yeah, season the dolphins, because you know, we might as well just start a big curry. Let's just make the oceans into a big salmon tikka masala and just enjoy ourselves until mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how they've distributed these salt crystals, but I do hope it's by t-shirt cannon. And while firing them into the sky, they scream something like, "'Tis the seasoning." Because even if it doesn't work, then it would be fun, you know?
Yeah.
This is proof that nobody who ever used the Fahrenheit scale ever contributed anything to society. This is the absolute proof, the most useless of all the imperial scales. You know, whenever I see a temperature in Fahrenheit, it's always something ridiculous, like 7,000 degrees, and that's the equivalent of like 3 degrees centigrade. Do you know what I mean? It's always completely the opposite of what I think it is. It's a stupid scale, and if you're a scientist and you use it, you have nothing to contribute to humanity, and that's a fact.
And that brings us to our reviews section. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Athena, what have you brought in for us this week?
I've got a fantastic thing. You're ever in a bar and you get like a cardboard beer mat, and then it's like you just tear it up for no reason, and that's a waste of a beer mat. It's a puzzle beer mat, guys. So rather than tearing apart the beer mat because you've got internalized rage because of something that happened in your childhood, what you can do is you can take apart the beer mat and you can put it back together again. And it's a genius thing. And we should all get this. And I swear to God, it will add years to our lives because it will remove all this trauma and the stress that we normally put into tearing up this beer mat. You can just take the puzzle apart and put it back together again.
Wow. That's amazing. Great. How many out of five?
Five out of five stars. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what are they going to think of next? It's an amazing thing. Chewing ice, they're just going to freeze chewing gum and put it in our drinks.
incredible.
Tom, what have you brought in for us?
It's a half review, half ranking I've done, because all the kids are ranking things nowadays with their S tiers and everything else. So I've decided to rank the different ways of drinking Coca-Cola. I'm off caffeine, and so I miss it, and so I decided to rank them. So, joint bottom, 1 star, if you will. Plastic bottle, not good for the environment, also too warm, doesn't taste nice. And the old-fashioned way that guy makes Coca-Cola in America. You know, he sort of mixes it all up and stuff. Don't want that, not interested. I don't want my soft drinks tasting of segregation, no thank you. Then under that is can, just your standard can. Under that, can from a bucket of ice at a carnival. Can't beat that. So good, so refreshing. And then second from the top, 4 stars if you will, is from a pub, like a zhuzha from a pub where they fill up the thing. Always tasty, always delicious. And number one, glass bottle and a straw, 5 stars. So those again are at the bottom, plastic bottle and the old-fashioned way, can from a bucket at a festival or a carnival, from a pub zhuzha, glass bottle with straw. Thank you.
The definitive ranking of mm-hmm. Coke drinking from Tom Neenan there. And that brings us to our Boss Wayne story now. And that is the news that all bad bosses at Amazon are now called Wayne. Tom, you're called Wayne. Can you unpack this story for us?
Undeniably, I am. Yes, we have reached that stage of dystopia where we now have to invent bosses to be angry at. Because these are Amazon... They're Amazon workers who are being basically, they're sort of sent these routes and things, aren't they, that they have to follow in order to sort of fulfill their, you know, the various responsibilities. And a lot of the routes they're being sent are generated by AI, and a lot of them are are impossible to achieve. They are impossible to sort of do in the time allotted. Apparently, you can only drive for 10 hours a day. I don't drive, so I'm not trying to sort of say, apparently these people who work in sort of manual labour do this thing. I don't drive, so I don't actually, I wasn't aware of that. But yeah, so what's happening is these people are being sent these sort of tasks and things, and they're impossible and they're stupid, and they're angry at them. But that's the great thing about AI, and that's what people are realising, is there's nothing to be angry about. So they have invented someone to be angry about, and that is a fictional boss called Wayne, who they all complain about on Reddit and say, Wayne sent me to do this mad thing the other day. No one's doing it. The machines are doing it. The algorithms are doing it. Have I got this right? Is that what's been happening? And so they're all complaining about Wayne, basically.
Yes, essentially the dystopia of modern kind of programmed workforces is that responsibility is distributed so broadly and so mechanically that people have no human face to throw their hate at. And as you know, when things are really shit and impossible, people like to blame someone. I'm glad it's Wayne in this instance and not, for example, the Jews. I think it points to the larger problem, which is that these people have workloads that are literally impossible to achieve. Athena, what do you think?
Oh, so much. Let's start here. Wayne could be Jewish, so let's go back to the Reddit. and let's
I'm sorry to anybody listening, there is no Jew called Wayne.
Just in case, but before we clear them of these charges, let's just clarify, please. Okay, but parking that, he might not be, but he might. But parking that, like, so we like to do this thing where AI is doing all this crazy stuff and it's making us do things. Somebody told AI to do that. Okay, it didn't just fall from the sky and send you on a mat. Somebody went into a computer and said, hello, AI, please send these people on mad journeys and errands through the city. So have a go at that guy. Don't absolve that guy from responsibility, first of all. I think we will be very quick to throw the baby out of the bathwater and blame AI. No, a human being invented that and pressed the button that said, it's going to do this now. So let's chop his hands off, is what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? Or disable him in some way so it doesn't do that anymore. Secondly, like, this is what we want. We want to go onto Amazon and order things we don't need to arrive within 90 minutes. Okay, so either you guys want it or you don't, because there's only one way that happens, and it happens through the exploitation of human labor. There's only one way you can go online and buy some shit you don't need and get and literally put your hand out and someone puts it in your hand, and now you're like, oh my god, it's so unfair. You know, they make these guys drive for 15 hours just to serve the needs that my needs and demands. Like, don't have the needs and demands. Okay, it stops with us. So it's not Wayne, it's the consumer. And if all the consumers are called Wayne, then it is Wayne. But we're not all called Wayne, so I know we're not. So we have to start to kind of connect the dots here. It's an absolutely ridiculous world that we live in that I can demand something online electronically from a factory and I can get it. Like, there's only one way that happens, and that's through exploitation, okay? So let's connect the dots here. It's not Wayne, it's the guy who programmed the AI, and it's the person who ordered that shit, okay? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, let's start throwing bricks through shops and stuff. Let's start. That's the only solution. That's it. We just got a riot, basically. It's all going out. It's all getting out of hand. Get out of hand.
But the shops are the good ones. The shops are the ones.
Oh, no, yeah. No, just throw bricks at the sky. Throw them at the sky. Yeah, just throw them in the air.
Fair enough.
It might stop climate change if they're very salty bricks. I mean, I like the beautiful symmetry of that, that in order for Amazon to work, you need to dehumanize the worker, and the worker in turn is humanizing the AI.
It's crazy. That's exactly what's happening, though. You've actually just put it, that is exactly what's happening, which is bizarre. It's crazy.
Is it just people who really want to pretend they're working for Batman? So, like, they're convinced themselves they've got a really cool job because my boss with a secretive identity is called Wayne, and we all know what that means.
Yeah, well, we don't know how Batman funds his Bruce Wayne fortune. It can't just all be Bat Guano.
I bet he just invented Tetra Pak. I bet it was something really boring, you know? Because the family who made Tetra Pak are, like, really rich. They just invented this really useful thing. So it's like Velcro. It's like,
yeah, yeah. His great-grandparents composed Happy Birthday, and yeah. He's been living off that money ever since.
That's why I have to pay $1 every birthday to the Happy Birthday family. That brings us to our final story of the day. And this is a good news story, ? Or possibly another internet dystopia story. This is the story of a runaway groom who was hunted down by internet sleuths when he ghosted his pregnant wife. Tom Neenan, you've been a ghost. Can you unpack this story?
He got, well, this is a case, I think we should take the term doxing and replace it with the term baby reindeering, because basically, if you give the internet anyone to look for, they will find that person in 0.4 seconds flat, and that is exactly what happened to Ashley Maguire, whose husband allegedly, do we have to say allegedly in this, because there's real people involved and it's an actual situation.
I don't think anyone is taking their full news from this podcast. This entire podcast is in quote marks, you know, like I feel like... If anybody's genuinely feeling like we are libeling anyone, you've got the tone of this podcast wrong.
Do your own research. Charles Withers, who is no longer Withers in the sense that he ran away, and she was like, can you find him? Because he's scarpered. And the internet spent like 0.2 seconds and was like, here he is, we found him. Because that's what the internet's best at. And that's why, that's like I say. So you give it a challenge and it will rise to it. Hence the baby reindeer situation of going, here's someone who's real, who exists, who's a thing on the internet. Went, yep, found them. Here they are. Immediately did all your research for you. God bless the internet, I guess, is my conclusion to this.
Well, it was within 21 hours. She had, quote, more than enough information to locate him. Literally hundreds of messages to sort through, some with information and some with support, which is extraordinary. She then, of course, it being the internet, said, please don't attack him physically. Athena, your thoughts?
Lots. So I think he ghosted this woman and they were engaged. We do have the right to end relationships, though. Like, it's like, if I don't want to be with someone anymore, I should be allowed to kind of extract myself from that relationship. And the way I do that should be, it should be empathetic and it should be respectful and it should be protective of everybody's kind of mental health and respect everybody's kind of humanity. But I've got the right to be like, oh man, it's not for me, fam. Do you know what I mean? It's not you, it's me. And like, I think other humans on the internet should respect that. Like, this woman was ghosted by someone, which is really, really unpleasant. Not ghosted by someone, her fiancé and a British chef, you know. Like, obviously she's American, so she thinks that that's a big deal. No, British food is terrible. But like, you know, she's like, whatever. Fancy, ooh la la,
oh,
fancy.
They were married.
They were married. I mean, look, it's a tough one. Yes, and half of me is like, yeah, like you shouldn't really ghost someone that you're in a long-term relationship with, and I'm glad you've been tracked down. Now you can explain yourself. On the other hand, I'm like, you should be able to. Relationships do end, then they can end.
Yes, but I feel like you probably shouldn't ghost your wife.
But if you do ghost your wife, ghost everyone. Because you will be found. You can't just be like, oh, I'll ghost this one person and then go on Instagram and go to wherever he went, Fernando's, or wherever he went, I don't know. But Fernando's is a fictional island.
I mean, look, we don't know. We don't know the both. There's obviously both sides, two sides to every story. She could have been an online influencer or some other hideous thing. Mm-hmm. But she posted on the Are We Dating the Same Guy Texas group that it was hard to divorce someone who's completely unreachable. Mm. The fact that there is an Are We Dating the Same Guy group is a wonderful thing for people to discover if they are dating the same guy as other people. But I feel like if you're going on the Are We Dating the Same Guy group, you shouldn't be with the guy you're with. Because either you or he have problems.
That's blown my mind. It's done. So you put up a photo of a man and be like, are you in a relationship with this man? It's like cats. You know how cats have like 7 different owners? are you feeding this cat too? Because my cat's getting fat. Oh, that's your cat. I thought it was my cat. How about it? That was my cat. Oi, Ruffles. What the hell are you playing at? I feel like we need that website more, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because cats are traitors. I say this a lot, but that's a cat will do that shit. Have different dinners. Like, I'm a good cook. I've every confidence of being the only person cooking for my man. But I'll go on the website still. That's crazy. But yeah, I can't think... Imagine someone goes missing and you go to the internet and not the police. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen my husband for 5 days. I'll go on Instagram. I'm pretty sure you want to call the police. I'm just, you know, call them, see if he's been paintballed by someone. Like everything, I think the world's this. I just think the world's gone mad. I don't know.
It is weird how like terminology though can like, because if I said I've ghosted my wife, he'd be like, that's not a very nice thing to do. If I said, you know, if what I meant by that was I've killed my wife, then you go like, well, that is actually now on the, what I thought you'd done is a lot better. So worst person to ever ghost his wife is obviously Patrick Swayze. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode of The Gargle. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Athena, have you got anything to plug?
I do. I've got a children's podcast called Bust or Trust. It's for kids, but grown-ups too. If you will, you can pretend it is if you listen to it as a grown-up. But it's really fun. I do it with a lovely comedian called Tian and Dio, and it's great. Bust or Trust podcast. Check it out.
Wonderful. Check out that podcast. Tom, have you got anything to plug?
I've got a podcast that I do with two people, and it's a Doctor Who podcast, because if three white men sit in a room together, a Doctor Who podcast sort of just forms around them. So that's what we do. It's called A Wheezing Groaning Sound. Listen to that, and also follow me on Instagram at TPNeenan, because I'm slowly trying to migrate off Twitter/X, as we all are. Instagram isn't better, but it's not owned by Elon Musk, so that's the plan.
Yeah, I mean, if you stay on X for too long, you'll realise suddenly that it's meant to be a car. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, as well as my weekly writers' meetings and my salons, which is where you get in the Zoom room and have a chat, a lot like this, but less pre-written. You can also buy my book in advance sales, though I have submitted my end of the manuscript, at unbound.com and type in Alice Fraser. It's called The Dancy Lagarde Reader. You can also listen to our big sister podcast, The Bugle Obvs. Your editor for this podcast is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production, and I'll talk to you next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.